2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And if you are physically able to stand, would you just do that where you are in your immediate vicinity? Just stand and I'll read these two verses in our hearing. Verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is short-sighted that he is blind. Is so short-sighted, excuse me, that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Amen. Our Father, we humbly bow together now and ask you to help us understand what you're saying to your people. Help us to get a full understanding and then apply it to our lives and grant us grace to obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may remember that we've been covering this topic for a number of weeks now, and we're continuing on with this subject matter because that's what Peter is addressing in these verses. Growing up. It's time to grow up. And I've tried to convince you over the weeks that that's God's desire. God's desire for every Christian to be mature, because it's the growing Christian that is effective. It's the growing Christian that is productive. God wants us to be effective and productive. God is never, never, never pleased when we continue to be infants and to act infants, like infants, to act, if you will, childish. We are God's children, but he doesn't want us to act and live childish, all right? He wants us to grow. So, you may remember then that we have covered these eight qualities that have been presented in this text, in this context. And what I need is some help. So, Maury, Pebbles, Derek, Trent, who's hiding? Trey. How many did I get? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Sean, 7. Yeah, come on. Who's the closest to their age? I need you all to line up right there so you can see this. Okay, Mario, you start right here. So you can see the board. Just line up that way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do I need another? That's 7, right? Who's closest to their age? Come on, Kayla. That's what happens when you're young. I'm looking around. Am I right? Is that right? Okay. Trey, scoot this way a little bit. Kayla, right there. Right there. I know this is tough on the recording, but y'all bear with us on the recording, all right? Now, we're going to do a quick review on these qualities, right? We're going to begin with faith, and you're going to read what faith does, okay?
Okay.
And then we're just going to work our way down the list, okay? So what does faith say?
I will trust in God with my past, present, and future without fear or doubt.
All right. What does virtue say?
I will demonstrate excellence in my character that attracts people to me in order to know Christ.
What does knowledge say?
I will understand and obey God's will in the face of temptation.
Very good. What does self-control say?
I will restrain my emotions, impulses, and desires in the face of temptation.
Very good. And steadfastness?
I will not quit or give up in the face of difficulty.
And godliness.
I will respect and reverence reverence in God in the face of difficulties and temptation.
Very good. And what does a brotherly affection say?
I will love my Christian brother and sister like a genuine member of my family.
And love.
I will deny myself and sacrifice for the God of the good of another in times of difficulty.
Okay, now this is very important, right? This is what we've been looking at for weeks, right? And I want you to think of these eight qualities. I want you all to lock arms. Okay? Lock arms. They're together. Yes? Amen. They're together. They come as a package.
Amen.
So you don't pick and choose. They come as a package. And you identify not with one or the other, but with all of them. That's what growth is. Growth doesn't find pride because I find excellence in one place or the other. Growth says I'm growing in what? In them all. Growing in them all. Thank you very much. Y'all did great. You did great. I'm growing in them all. Okay. So that's what we've covered the past few weeks. And so today, as we look at these two verses, we're going to be considering then, what is this effective and productive Christian? What does an effective and productive Christian look like? And then finally, we're going to contrast that with what the Bible calls an ineffective and an unproductive Christian, all right, in verse 9. So we're going to dive into that real quick, and we'll be done for today. I didn't write this down, but listen to me. I want to give you a quick definition. Effective in the biblical context means that you're active for the Lord. Okay? Not just being busy, not just doing what you want to do, but you are active for the Lord. You're doing what God has called and saved you to do. That's effective. Productive means that you're getting useful results for the Lord. Right? Your labor in Christ is not in vain. And you have to leave the results to Him. Yes? Sometimes the results are definitely not what you expected. Certainly not, definitely not what you wanted. But if it's the result that the Lord wanted, then you have to be pleased with that. That's effective, right? Useful in what the Lord wants you to do. And productive, that is, getting the results that the Lord wants. Now, this verse 8 gives us two words that are very important when it comes to being an effective and productive Christian. I'll just go ahead and tell you the two words. The two words are possession and progression, okay? It's what you have and what you do with what you have. What you have, you have to make sure that I got it, and then you have to make sure that I use it. Okay? This is the simple process for a growing Christian. Make sure you got it before you race off and try to do it. That's what you see so many confused believers out there doing, got wrong understanding, confused about what they have, and off trying to do things with things you don't have. Yes? Operating in areas that you're not even gifted to serve. And so you make sure I got it, and then I want to use it. You got the pattern? So the first thing then we look at is what I call possession. And you see my statement there. Every Christian has access to these character qualities that we just heard our young people address, right? Every Christian, you can't be a Christian if you don't have faith, right? There's no such thing as a Christian that doesn't have the faith for you to be saved. God had to give you faith for you to be saved, right? And so every Christian has access to all of these, the virtue, the self-control, steadfastness, all of the things that we just went through. Every Christian has access to it, and every Christian has the liberty to develop that quality in your life. Nobody has advantage over you. You say, well, Brother Willie, you've been studying the Bible longer than me. That has nothing to do with you growing. Or you've done this and you've done that. You see, those are all excuses. Those are no reasons. No one has an advantage over another Christian. Yes, we all have access to the same God, to the same resource. I stand here, you stand here, we're standing in different places, but we all got the same resource. And he says to every one of us, I want you all to grow. Yes? Because you all possess the same thing. I don't have any quality, I don't have access to any qualities that you don't. Every quality we just talked about, you have access to it just like me. Now, because you don't exercise self-control does not mean you don't have access to it. Right? So we just got to be real about this. We cannot continue to make excuses for why we don't grow. You can't blow up anytime you want to and say, well, that's just the way I am. No, God says you want to remain a child, then yeah, that is the way you are. But if you want to grow, you cannot blow up anytime you want to. I say exercise what? Self-control. And you say, well, Willie, you just got a different demeanor than me. God says that's an excuse. Yes? Every Christian is required to exercise self-control. Amen? And I'm just picking, you can pick any character there. We're together so far? His divine power has granted this to what? Has granted us all things that are necessary for life and godliness. We're good so far? Every Christian has access. And then secondly, God has provided them. Now look at this. And so we must make them our own. You're looking at verse 8. Look at verse 8. For if these qualities are yours, you see that? Now, these are qualities that come from God, but he says, I have given them to you. Now, you own them. I gave them, you make them your own. That's the reason I personalize every one of them. I will restrain myself. I do it by God's ability, but I will do it because he's told me to do it. And he's given me the ability to do it. We'll get to that in just a second. But these are, I make these qualities my own. I no longer make excuses. Yeah, my life is hard, but I'm not going to quit because God has given me steadfastness. Yes? I can look at other people and I'm thankful that other people don't quit, but God says, I don't want you to quit. Amen? Think of a whole church where there's no quitters. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. Now, I'm talking about not even giving up on each other. See, I'm not just talking about quitting a thing, but a church that doesn't give up on what? Each other. Yes? So you make these qualities your own. So that's possession. The second word I mentioned to you was progression, right? You've got to have them, but you got to grow. So you see how it's, look at verse 8. If these qualities are yours and are increasing, you see that? These qualities, you have them, you possess them, but you need to be growing in them. You can't have them and just sit back and brag about what you got. You remember Jesus gave the parable of the man with the five talents, and you remember that, and the two or three, and then with the one? Well, whatever he gives you, he's coming back to what? You're going to have to give an account for that. Every Christian in here, you may know other Christians that they got wrong teaching and they're not growing or whatever. God's going to hold you responsible for what you know, not for what they know. You're going to have to be responsible for what you know and what you did with what you know. Yes? And so progression is a necessary, is the next necessary aspect of growth. What this means is that every Christian has the ability to develop. I don't have any advantage over you. We all have the same Holy Spirit. You're looking at verse, you got verse 3? Look at verse 3. His divine power has granted this to us. I don't have any greater access to God's divine power than you do. Amen? Amen. God isn't biased. He's no respecter of persons. He gives you the same power as he does me, and vice versa. I got the same power as you do. So his divine power gives us the ability, all of us the ability, to develop these qualities. And all that we can say then is it's by grace and obedience that we grow or we make progress in these qualities. And this is how we become effective and productive for the kingdom of God. You're looking at verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the point? If you are not ineffective, you are what? Come on, now you got it. You're not ineffective, you are effective. And if you're not unproductive, you are productive. Right, young people? That's syllogism. I know you all get that. Anybody that can play these difficult levels of games that y'all do, I know you can get that. Right? So then the point is that for whether you're young or old or educated on whatever, wherever you are as a Christian, God wants you to both own these qualities and to grow in them. That's the only point that I'm trying to make here as we embrace this particular issue. That's an effective and a productive, listen to me now, Christian. Now I want to talk to you about an ineffective and an unproductive what? Both are Christians. You got to get this. You're either an effective and a productive Christian, or you are a what? Ineffective and an unproductive Christian. You remember what Jesus said? You can't straddle the fence. You can't stay lukewarm. Yes? Either get what? Hot? A cold. Stop floating along. Stop going along with the program. Get in it. Stop riding the bus to the race. You know, you get on the bus to go to the track meet and go and sit in the sand. There are no bystanders. We're all in the race. Yeah? God wants us all to win our race. So you're either effective and productive or you are ineffective and unproductive as a Christian. Imagine that, meeting Christ and him telling you you were ineffective and unproductive. All of your labor is what? In vain. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine any assessment that would be worse than that. I don't know what age I'm going to die, but even if it was today, to know that I've lived 67 years and the majority of that was in vain. Now, I know that 28 years of it is in vain, but I want what has happened since I was 28. I want it to have value in eternity, whether people down here appreciate it or not. You understand? Because there's only one judge. And he's the one that assesses whether or not it was effective and what? Productive. Because sometimes the result that you want is not what God wants. People look at the result with Jesus and they assume that you... That's the reason it's difficult for many people to come to Christ. They see him as a failure. He wasn't successful in the eyes of the world. And sometimes the result that God is looking for will not be pleasant for you. But if it's God's result, then you have been productive. We're good so far? So then let's take a look at this. Now this is really interesting here. Let's take a look at verse 9 as we talk about an ineffective and unproductive Christian. Let me tell you these right up front, and so you can get them. The problem with an ineffective Christian is they have poor sight and poor memory. Okay? Poor sight and poor memory. And I want to unpack that so you can see what I'm talking about. You got verse 9? For whoever lacks these qualities is so short-sighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Hopefully you can see that. Poor sight and poor memory. The word translated short-sighted in my Bible, I don't know what it is in your translation, but it's muopazo. And it literally means to close your eyes. And you know, we call it squinting. You've seen people that squint to try to see. And so that's the whole idea, is that from God's perspective, the Christian can be walking through life squinting. You're almost blind. You can't see well because you got your eyes aren't open. Now, he's not talking about your physical eyes here. He's talking about the eyes of your heart, right? Your spiritual sight. And so that's what the word nearsighted or short-sighted means. Now, here's what I want you to see. I'm talking about spiritual vision. And so impaired spiritual vision means that a Christian does not understand what is being taught or experienced. You and I, we say it all the time. You talk to someone and you say, "Can't you see that?" What do we mean? Don't you understand what's going on right in front of you? That's the point here. As a Christian, you can be living your life and missing the lesson that God is teaching you every day, because you are spiritually, you got spiritually impaired vision. Can you find Mark 7, verse 18? You might be familiar with this verse, Mark 7, 18. This is Jesus, and he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person's a person from outside cannot defile him?" You see it? Are you without understanding? And then he says, "Can't you see this?" And you and I say it all the time. In Ephesians 1, Paul says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be what? Enlightened, so that you may know." And so impaired spiritual vision means that a Christian does not understand. Oh, by the way, I missed this. You remember what I said about effective? Effective in a Christian's life is active for the Lord. Productive is useful results for the Lord. So then ineffective would be what? Inactive for the Lord. And unproductive would be useless results for the Lord. Now, don't miss this. I'm not saying that you don't get results. It's just that the results are not for the Lord. I knew a pastor that, and I won't say exactly what he said, but he said that he was going to a particular area of St. Louis to build him a church out of all the people there. Now, and again, I won't say it the way he said it, but God let him do that. Now, the issue is, did God tell you to go and build this kind of church? Or is this your plan? Now, if it's God's plan and you're getting God's results, that's fine. But if you decided to do it, you got results, but they weren't results for the Lord. Okay? And it's no different than any other ministry. You can start any kind of ministry in the church. If the Lord hasn't commissioned you to do that, you will get results. But it's unproductive because they're not the results that the Lord wants. I know this isn't thrilling, but this is we have to deal with these issues to grow up. I do not want anybody in this room to get to the end of your life and realize and say, why didn't somebody warn me? Why didn't somebody talk to me about all of the work I was doing? Everyone in here needs to check with God about what you're doing. Not with me. I mean, I'll give you my opinion. But God is the one who's the judge. He's the one that's determining whether what you're doing, he wants you to do or not. And whether the results will be good for you or not. So poor sight is a major problem. And poor memory is the other one. This poor memory is a Christian that has become spiritually forgetful. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Willie? You got the text? This is particularly concerning here. You got 1 Peter? Look at 1 Peter. For whoever lacks these qualities is so short-sighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. This is serious. This is a Christian. This is a Christian. So, forgetting what God has accomplished in salvation for you is significant. Yes? Absolutely. It is absolutely significant. When you forget that Jesus paid the price for you to be free, and you're willing to drift back into slavery, when you forget that God gave you peace and you let your soul stay troubled all the time, when you forget that Jesus gave you strength to resist the devil and his temptations, when he gave you joy and you want to stay discouraged and depressed all the time, when you forget that there's no more guilt, your running buddies may still blame you for what you used to do, but when Jesus has set you free, there's no more guilt for that. There's no more shame. Yeah, there's shameful things that you've done, but when Jesus died, the shame is gone.
That's right. Amen.
And you let people keep you in slavery over that because you forget what Jesus paid. He paid the price. You're no longer your own. Let them talk. You remember that old song? Talk about me as much as you please. The more you talk, what? I'll bend my knees. Who is it? Oh, you're too young for that fair. It's an old song there, right? No, you know, really. If you can't handle people talking about you, you don't need to be a Christian. This is serious. Yeah? And so you cannot forget what, you see, the Christian that becomes forgetful will walk around in guilt. You let people keep you in guilt. You let them keep you slaved up in. You say you can't do that. You got to remember. Exercise your righteous mind. The one who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes? Don't let anybody throw that back on you again. Come to me, all who are weary, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I'm meek, lowly, right? Find rest for your soul. Don't let people take you back into turmoil. Jesus has come to give you rest. Don't forget that. Even when your own mind, and that's time, I struggle like you do. That's times you got to stop listening to yourself. Right? You start remembering stuff that you need to let go. You ever had that happen? Just fresh. It's just fresh, right? It's just like it's right there. Just like I just did it. And you got to learn how to handle that with gospel memory. Which I will say to you, I didn't mean to go here, but I'm trying to wrap up. This is one of the reasons you need to memorize Scripture. When you find yourself thinking your thoughts, you need to have Scripture there to help you. Remember, isn't that what Jesus did when the devil was tempting him? The devil say one thing, yeah, but you say, but yes, but the word says this. And so you have to, Willie, what you doing, man? Why are you thinking that way? I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was, not too long ago, when I was in the workforce. There's loads, just so many temptations in the workforce. And this is one of the first times I learned the value of memorizing Scripture. I memorized Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And you think, well, how do you do that? We use about 20% of our memory. We have way more mental capacity than we even tap into. So don't start saying, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can, and you should, so that you can have a resource when you find yourself in that situation. You're thinking wrong, and you know you're thinking wrong. Well, you can't say, well, what did Pastor Willie say about this? Or what? No. You got to have something there. You got to have a weapon. Yeah, right? The Word of God is our weapon. It's our sword, right? And so this short-sightedness and this short memory is a real problem. Forgetting the significance of God-ordained ordinances is serious. Now, you say, Brother Willie, where you get that from? You look at the verse. Forgetting that he was cleansed from his former sins. Now, in Peter and in much of the Old Testament, cleansing refers to water baptism. Okay? And so that's one of the reasons I'm telling you, there is value in us having these ordinances. That's the reason we have baptism. That's the reason we have the Lord's Supper. It's to what? Remind you, so that you don't forget. Jesus said, as often as you do this, what? Do it in remembrance of me. You and I have to admit I need to be reminded, don't we? Yes, we do. And that's what Peter says right here. I know I'm telling you things you already know, but that doesn't bother me at all. If you're a parent, you know what that means. How many times have you told your child something that what? And I tell you, Kayla, Ron, all you new parents, get ready for it. You'll now understand what your parents were saying to you. It's amazing how many times you have to tell the child the same thing. And it's not because they didn't hear you or they don't know it. They just didn't get it. And you and I are the same way. Thank God we got a good father. Yes. Right? That tells us again and again, even when he knows we know it. He knows we've heard it. We didn't get it. So don't have a poor memory when it comes down to the significance. Jesus paid it all. You've been bought with what? A price. You are no longer your own. You can't do anything you want to do anymore. Thank God for that. And I promise you this, if you continue to do it, he will spank you. I'm saying it in a parental way. He'll discipline you. Yeah. That's a good father. Yes, that's a good father when he knows you're forgetting what you ought to know. It's an amazing thing. Phil and Dan were young. It's an amazing thing when they get in trouble. They remember. It's like all the stuff they forgot, it comes right back. It's just right there as soon as the belt or something comes out. And all of a sudden, they just remember. And I was the same. You were the same way. I get caught. Oh, yeah. I had amnesia. I had some crazy amnesia I went through. But that switch just brings, just all of a sudden, it just, there it is. I remember. And so the discipline of God is good. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if you're without discipline, then you're not a true child of God. Because we all forget. Now, I'm saying that you shouldn't let this become, chronic, or what's the, we all have some small issues. What is it when it gets beyond chronic? Whatever it is. You shouldn't let it get serious, because at least I ain't helping me here. You shouldn't let it get serious. I mean, we all have headaches and, those kind of things. But a headache is implying something is going on, right? So treat the headache before it gets moves on to something else. Y'all kind of understand what I'm saying? And so thank God that he disciplines us before we get into some kind of crisis situation. Because nobody, I hope that I'm not speaking to any Christian that wants to be ineffective and unproductive. Get to where you can't see and you can't understand. And you and I know some Christians like that. The Bible would say they actually live foolish. They're not fools, but they're living like what? Fools. Because they can't see and they can't understand and they don't remember. I assure you I didn't intend to be this long. But I want you to get this. The Holy Spirit will help us with our memory. You remember what Jesus said in Rome, in John 14? When the Helper comes, right, he will teach you all things and he will bring these things to your what? Remembrance. The Holy Spirit will help us because he knows we need help oftentimes with our memory. And my last statement on this point is this. Remembering produces gratefulness, humility, love, and growth. When you remember rightly, you'll be thankful. You'll be thankful for what God has done for you. You remember how 1 Thessalonians says that in all things give thanks, for this is God's will. You'll be thankful even for the hard things, even for the things that you didn't understand when God helps you remember how faithful he's been. There's times when you've gone through something and you realize that God was faithful all the way through it. You have to thank him. It wasn't pleasant, but God was with me the whole time. Yes? How the psalmist says that he was, even when I have to walk, what? Through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I fear no evil. Why? You are with me. And when God helps you remember that as hard, as difficult as this situation was, God never left me. It'll make you grateful. It'll humble you when you know how hard you tried to fix it and you couldn't. It'll help you to grow. Before I go there, listen to this. I got two sentences I want to read. I just want you to listen. Just listen. A lack of understanding and forgetfulness occurs when a Christian is too busy with the issues of life. Okay? Now, I want you to remember what we were just talking about. I'm saying that this happens when you get too busy. You get so busy that you don't have time to slow down and think about what's going on in your life. You're just putting out fires. You're just living, just racing and living your life, and you're doing a whole lot of stuff. But when it comes down to God, the labor for Christ, you're ineffective and unproductive. Godly understanding and memory requires times of meditation, times of prayer, times of Bible study and worship, both alone and with God's people. We need both. We need time alone with God, and we need time with God's people, with God. That's what the Bible teaches. And when you become ineffective and unproductive, you act like you've forgotten all that. Now, wrap up. So what we've seen then is that a Christian who both possesses and progresses in these qualities will be both effective and productive. But we've also seen that a Christian who has poor sight and poor memory will be ineffective and unproductive, right? Now, what does all that mean? Surely you can see that you know that God is not pleased with the Christian that is ineffective and unproductive. Both Christians, but both have to be stirred up to realize that you cannot please God like this. There's no way you can please God by just racing around and doing what you want to do. Slow down. Take time. Open up the eyes of your heart and see what God is. I hear people say, God's trying to teach me. God doesn't try. You know the old song is, God's trying to tell me something. God doesn't try to tell you anything. Why do we think God's trying? God is telling you something. You're just not listening. You're not hearing. You understand the difference? See, when you say God is trying, then that puts some impugning kind of characteristic on God. God's not trying to do anything. He's doing it. The issue is with us. Yeah? And there's no way you can feel that being this ineffective and unproductive Christian is pleasing to God. I hope that I'm speaking, everybody in this room, I would hope that it would be your desire to please God. To please God, we've got to be effective and productive. So my brother, my sister, every one of us must accept the responsibility for our own spiritual growth. I told you that I'd end each message this way. And we must accept the fault and the blame for our lack of growth. God has provided everything that we need. Now, the question is, are you ready to wholeheartedly possess, that is, take ownership of these qualities that we talked about today? And then, are you ready to make progress for the glory of God? God is calling you right here and right now. Get beyond me. I'm asking you right now. I know I may not have done the best job here today, but would you get beyond me and listen to God? Are you ready to grow up? Just try to extract whatever good came out of what I said today. Are you ready to grow up? Are you ready to make sure you are not that short-sighted, poor memory Christian? Are you ready to make sure that you both possess and progress in all of these qualities? You don't pick and choose. This is not a smorgasbord. Grow up in all of them. Are you ready? Are you willing to say yes to God today? Open your heart. Remember what God has done for you. Make no more excuses. Don't say that you're too busy. Don't continue to complain and approach God as if you can't do what he's calling you to do. Say yes. Yes, Lord. And he'll meet you right where you are. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, then this would be a wonderful opportunity for you to surrender to Christ today. Regardless of your age, regardless of your past sin and whatever, anything that you shame about, there's hope for your future right here today. And so I'd invite you to come to Christ. Do it today. Do it now. You say yes to the Lord today likewise. Father, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together. Help us all to take you seriously with this matter. It grieves my heart. I think it grieves the heart of everyone in this room to think that there are Christians who are ineffective and unproductive. It grieves my heart, and I hope, hopefully every heart, to think that there are Christians who are short-sighted and forgetful about all that you've accomplished in salvation. And God, I pray that that not be the description of anybody in this room or under the sound of my voice. So Holy Spirit, we need your help today. Help us to grow in Christ, to grow in knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to grow. Bring someone to yourself today. Help them to get beyond my poor voice and my demeanor, and help them to hear your voice. Speak to the heart of someone here today. Call them away from themselves and out of their sin and out of their misery. Call them into the light of Christ. Call them to that place of true peace. Do it for your glory. Do it for the good of someone's soul. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Let's just bow for a few minutes then.